This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde live on a Wednesday night. Back-to-back nights of Singer and Hyde right here on our Blue and Gold YouTube channel. Hope everyone is well. What is going on, YouTube chat? Hope you guys are all doing well. We have a lot to talk about, really, because you guys have given us a lot to talk about. So looking forward to diving into the voice memos, messages, whatever you want to call them, that we got just today. So we had a big show last night, went through everything that was going on in the world of Notre Dame football, thought it was a really good discussion, some good questions from you guys. And then for tonight's show, I got questions from Irish fans on our Blue and Gold message board and even some from Twitter as well. And Tim, I know you are very much prepped on these. I know you listened to all of them two or three times. You got to study all of these questions. Can you confirm this, Tim?
I cannot confirm that. So this is going to be awesome. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to it because it's like you're saying, this is a great idea with you, Mike, just to see what's out there. You know, a little bit of the angst, a little bit the bowl game. Heck, we were just talking 32 seconds before we went live. It's like, what's going on with so many guys? You know, we're still in limbo. Who's going pro? Who's not? Who's coming back? Tons of questions. But at the end of the day, I know for me, I am really, really excited for this Sun Bowl. Now that it's been coming out and it's been a few days, I'm really looking forward to it. And there's just going to be a lot of dudes we haven't really seen and prime time roles really be the dudes in that game. And it's going to be awesome as we lead into 2024. So
leave it to Tim Hyde, like to get excited about it. Like, cause you're just such a football guy. Like, I love that you are everything that's right in college football. You know, I love it, Tim.
You know, but when you take a pause before we get rolling here, it's like, when you take a pause, that was, you know, at first you're like, oh, we're not playing this team. It's not January 1, but the end of the day, right, Mike? I mean, you said it 100 times. If you're not in the Big Boy Bowl, heck, look at the New Year's Six teams. Tons of New Year's Six teams are dropping out. Notre Dame won, you know, was up for the Gator Bowl. NC State's almost got 20 players in the portal, and they're going to the Gator Bowl play it. So it's like it's crazy what's going on out there. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the depth, and this is what I think we've been talking about the last couple of years. These recruiting classes, Marcus Freeman. We know some guys aren't going to be playing in this game. So let's see how this recruiting is. Let's see what he's building. And we're going to get a taste of it here in a couple of weeks. That's for sure. So that's what excites me.
Yeah. I don't think Gator Bowl is technically considered New Year's Six, but your point taken.
No. Yeah. I'm talking about, you know, like a New Year's good game. Bowl. That bowl last year was a good bowl game when you're playing an SEC ranked team, you know. It's like they have opt out. So, but it's
kind of. Was South Carolina ranked? I thought they were like a 6-6 team last year. They were ranked?
Yeah, they were ranked. I want to say Notre Dame was, what, 18, 19 in that game? South Carolina maybe. Was 20, 21-ish.
Okay, so. Okay. I could be wrong. I guess let's just get into it, folks. Of course, if you're watching live with us, hit the thumbs up, subscribe if you are new here, or if you're watching back, make sure you do those two things as well. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe. Blueandgold.com, definitely your home for all things Notre Dame football. Current offer for you guys is $1 for 2 months for new subscribers using the promo code UND1. That's the letter UND1. Any other housekeeping items? Signing day 2 weeks from now, Tim. 2 weeks. Two weeks. Notre Dame commits can become official. Really so much focus on the transfer portal and whatnot and coaching change. does that become plural after, you know, the NFL season? Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, so today was actually kind of a slow day, which we were not really expecting because every day has just been hectic. But today, no big news, just some trophy, first team All-American stuff. But otherwise, nothing too crazy. So let's just get into the voicemails. First one from Alex here. We actually heard this one on the as a test last night. Let's hear from Alex.
Do you think Riley Leonard will be able to help Notre Dame more than Sam Hartman?
$1 million question, Sam. What do you think?
Yeah, my gut is yes, because my gut tells me. I mean, Mike Goolsbee talks about this a lot, and he and I, when we text 1,000 times, you know, a week together, it's always like, when is Notre Dame going to have that guy at quarterback that just everyone just fears? You know, I mean, look at the guy. You know, Brian Kelly's going to get a Heisman Trophy on his resume in a couple days. Why? Because that quarterback could sling it, and he runs for over 1,000 yards because he's crazy. And I think Leonard is going to be that type of a quarterback that things break down. You gotta respect him. And it also comes down to the run game. For crying out loud, Jack Cohn, Drew Pine, Sam Hartman. Not one defensive coordinator ever worried about them keeping it on a run play. Meaning, so when you saw nine-man fronts, you got to find a way to block nine guys. When you have a quarterback that could run, bam, one of those ninth has to be accounted for in the quarterback. And that is going to just help out the run game beyond what anyone even thinks. It is going to be huge in the run game to get someone to account for, you know, Riley Leonard. And I think that's going to be one of the biggest takeaways that Leonard brings to the, you know, to the offense. Just like, my God, you know, it's the other thing. It's if Notre Dame's running the ball, but, you know, let's say a couple of these portal guys kick butt. Jaden Greathouse has a hell of a year. You know, one of the freshmen steps up and they got a true vertical threat somewhere. You have to play too deep. I mean, go back and watch, you know, guys, if you didn't watch the Washington-Oregon game, there were times in that game Oregon and Washington had five guys in the boxes. Five. Why? Because the wide receivers outside scared the hell out of them. So you had to play so deep you could run the ball down their throats, and that's what Washington did in that game. So
yeah,
I'm hoping Notre Dame's offense somehow, some way, bam, is able to do that in 2024 and not always have to go 75 yards in 6 minutes to score. And that's what it's felt like, obviously, the last couple of years.
Yeah, my thought, Jay Patterson says, not sure if Riley can throw against top defenses. He struggled against Notre Dame this year. You point to me a Notre Dame quarterback that has been able to throw well against top defenses in recent years. So my thought is, really, it's a kind of a ceiling floor thing. I think the floor is pretty high for Hartman, but the ceiling wasn't. I thought it was higher than it eventually was, but I think, I mean, when's the last time Notre Dame had a starting quarterback at 6'4"? You know, Cohn wasn't 6'4". I mean, like this size, with the ability to move, you just hope that, you know, it's not like, you know, Tyler Buchner at quarterback pushing the ball downfield. No, I mean to throw shade at Tyler Buchner, but like that was kind of Buckner's like outstanding athlete. But like when it came to quarterback, like he threw a lot of picks and short arms some balls. So that's kind of my take on that question from Alex.
Yeah, Leonard's got an arm. Yeah, I mean that dude is he can throw it. So throw it. He's got the legs. It's going to be interesting. It's also going to come down to the offensive tackles next year, who plays offensive tackle, because the interior is going to be solid as could be. So that they could keep running the ball with these running backs to let Riley Leonard do it. Yeah. You know, I'm expecting him to do next year.
Bigger, faster Ian Book. Sign me up for that, Daniel.
Exactly. Yeah, great point, Daniel, without a doubt. Because when Ian broke down at times, boom. That dude ran for a lot of first downs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Go next to Adam. Adam's got a question for you, Tim. That I think you're gonna disagree with him, but we'll see.
That's okay.
Hey, are you guys firm or soft on bringing in too many wide receiver transfers? Kind of worry that you know, bringing in too many guys might take playing time away from guys like Greathouse, who could really benefit from seeing the field a lot this season.
Tim?
Yeah, load the room up. That's my opinion. Load it up. First off, I mean, this has been a, I've kind of heard this, like, oh, you know, we don't want to take reps away. You know, I want to pause because I want to be nice a little bit, but it's like, who cares? It's like the best guys will play. If Jaden Greathouse is a legitimate dude, he's going to play. I truly believe he is. I think he's a hell of a wide receiver. He's a very, very good wide receiver. He is not going to get hurt by some of these transfers because he is a damn good wide receiver. He is going to play. And if he doesn't play, this was my point last night. I know a couple of people talked about it in the YouTube comments, was the Notre Dame's not going to get to where they get until they start out recruiting the talent on the team right now. So if there's a dude that comes in and is 10 times better than Jaden Greathouse, good. The whole goal is to win the damn football game. So, but Greathouse is going to be a legitimate football player. So I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Okay. Super chat from Anthony, $2. Tim says the last time Notre Dame won a chip, Tony Rice was the threat. So there you go. Anthony, appreciate the $2 super chat and support. We're going to go next to Andrew Gilmore, friend of the show.
Hey, Mike and Tim, this is Andrew from California. Hey, question for you. A lot of attention in terms of the transfer portal has been on the offensive side of the ball, rightfully so. But who would you target on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, the way I look at it, they could be Notre Dame could potentially be losing Mills, Cross, Baptiste, Bertrand, Leofau, Kaiser, Hart, Xavier Watts. I mean, that's the core of their defense. So what position would you target?
This might have been my favorite one. This was really good from Andrew. So being reported that RJ Oben is a defensive end from Duke. He's visiting campus this weekend. Tom Lawyer reported that today. So, I mean, but I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, here are the positions to watch. Quarterback, obviously, at least two receivers. I think Flores' departure has made that three. Offensive lineman, which is interesting, Tim. We have not heard about Notre Dame really going after any offensive lineman yet, so maybe they've changed their mind, or whoever they're wanting to go after is not in the portal yet, or they're just kind of working behind the scenes. Who knows? Yeah, I think, you know, defensive linemen still, you know, to get a good defensive end. People are saying in the YouTube chat, Cross and Mills will be back. That's fantastic, guys. Let's wait for them to announce their decisions. You know, and then you got a defensive back in Jordan Clark committed. Do you go after any more? Do you feel good about that? Yeah. Watts, I believe, will come back next year. I think him playing the Sun Bowl is kind of a sign. But yeah, what do you think about Andrew's good question here?
Yeah, real quick on Xavier Watts, he had a quote at the Nagurski Award where he talked about he's working on a master's and he's not done until like possibly next summer, I think he was talking about. So does that just extend him coming back for a fifth year, which he really talked about education. So yeah, fingers crossed that he comes back because he's a stud. Heck, he's there once again because of recruiting issues. You know, we talk so much about wide receiver, the safety spot's been just decimated when it comes to recruiting. So where is that say? I'm always a safety DN because I think D tackles, they got bodies. You know, let's say they only get one of Mills or Cross back. Okay, you got one of them back, but you still got Anya coming back. You still got Rubio. And obviously you have this really good freshman group that just came in, you know, Mookum, Houston, Brennan Vernon, where's he going to land? So you still got some bodies. You know, at least there. DN, I think, you know, Andrew's point's awesome. It's like still going to have to be a DN, especially with Nana out. They're probably going to have to go to the portal, find another Baptiste type guy, a fifth, six-year guy who wants to come to Notre Dame, boost his draft stock and move up. Boubacar Traore, Mike, what does he play? Because his athleticism, his length, speed, all of those things, is he a Viper? They already got kind of a log jam in a way. If Botello comes back, Tuli Alamaka, you know, comes back, Burnham. Obviously his first junior year, who knows? He's got to play a ton, and then you still got Burnham. So, but I would say an older DN, and it's safety, correct? Unless is, you know, because you got Ramon Henderson was played in Ramon played every snap in the Aztec package, which is their dime. He's gone. DJ Brown is gone. Watts is there. Carter just left. Are any of these freshmen ready to play? Shuler, Ben Minich. I think safety and a DN. Linebacker, real quick, Andrew mentioned linebacker. They've recruited their butts off. And remember, they only play two linebackers. The Rover is 99% of the time a nickelback. So let's just start focusing on that with Golden and Freeman. It's a Mike and a Will. They got some really, really good young linebackers.
Kind of spoiled with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah because he could do both roles for sure. So, good question from Andrew. Appreciate you, as always. Continuing on with the show, and we have several other questions to get to from you guys, but we're going to first hear from our sponsor for tonight's show, Homefield, the outstanding, amazing collegiate line based out of Indianapolis, and they have some it's licensed clothing, and I can attest to it being comfortable as well. The designs are fantastic. Every time I scroll this site and do this ad read, I see about three more things I need to beg for them to send me, so I can rock that as well. Just on a, you know, whether it's on the show or just just anytime around the house, going out. I tend to get a ton of compliments on my Notre Dame Fighting Irish tennis crew neck. If you're a Notre Dame fan coming to South Bend, you definitely need to come wearing your home field attire. They actually have licenses to over 150 colleges, so you can find that college gear for anyone. So go ahead. Look, folks, look at all the different schools they have here if you're watching on YouTube. I mean, where else are you going to be able to buy a Idaho shirt, a Montana shirt, and a Notre Dame shirt in one cart? So great time to check out Homefield ahead of the holidays. Go ahead and get your orders in now to get those, hopefully before Christmas time. Use the promo code BlueGold23 and you'll receive 15% off your first order with Homefield. Please check it out, homefieldapparel.com. Of all of our sponsors, I get the most messages about that. Hey, Mike, what was that website you were talking about? Hey, Mike, what's that apparel website? What's your promo code? Actually, I had a recruit parent text me about it recently. So please check it out, homefieldapparel.com. You'll 15% off your first purchase using that promo code BlueGold23. Mike loves being an influencer, really? I don't know about all that. The only thing I'm influencing people to do is eat unhealthy, but with some T-Bell, but that's about it, Tim. Okay, moving along. This one is from Firm But Soft. That's what the person sent in as their name. I don't really know what that means, but let's hear from them.
Hey, Mike and Tim, Firm But Soft here. I just wanted to know, over or under Chris Mitchell receiving yards, 985. What are you guys taking?
The guy sounded a lot like the Adam from a couple questions ago, but 985 for Chris Mitchell, Tim.
Oh, my gut instinct is under. You know, is under, because I think they're gonna have a lot more depth. Obviously, talk injuries and all that stuff, but I think going into next season, I think they're gonna have more dudes to play at wide receiver than they had this year. So, he's electric. There's no doubt about that. I'll go under.
I would take the under too, and that has nothing to do with Chris Mitchell. As in, yes. I just feel like you're getting better odds probably with the under.
He goes over if he turns it, if he's a, you know, Will Fuller, Claypool type that could just vertical stretch and go jump and get some 30, 40 yard passes down the road.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Jake Hart. Always bet the under with the receivers. Yeah. Yes. What is Riley Leonard going to look like? What is the protection going to look like? Cause you need those two things to push the ball downfield. Teep your house says firm on the over, soft on the under. You guys are cracking me up. But I would bet the under 985. If I was an odds maker off the top of my head, more like 830, 840. I think that would be
a little bit. Look at you getting the odds down, getting the exact.
I do my prize picks, huh? Tim. This is my
985. What's 985. That's like three dudes this year combined, right?
Right.
It's like, that's a big number. That's a big number.
Yeah. Miles Boykin had 872 in 2018, and Claypool had 1,037 in 2019. So 985 would be tough. So I would set the line at like 830 ish. So anyways, there you go. Thank you for the question, Firm But Soft. Here we go with DY, with his or her question. I do not remember who this is, but let's hear it.
What's up, Blue and Gold? How you guys doing? This is, my handle is DY. I've been on the board for quite some time and only recently started to post. Love your guys' work. The whole team really does a great job. Two questions from me. A couple of the younger guys, Charles Jagasaw on the offensive line and on the opposite side of things, Brennan Vernon, very curious on their development. And would you see them make the field here at the bowl game? Second question related to Riley Mills. What's your take on should he stay or should he go? My sense is that he needs a little bit more development, but what the hell do I know? So I'll stop and take a listen. Thanks, guys.
Same with us, DY. What do we know? I love that.
Jagasaw and Vernon, I the only thing I'd say is I just hear good things. I don't have specifics on, their biceps got bigger or anything like that, but I just hear that those two guys are progressing well. It does seem like Jagasaw is trending more towards an interior player, which honestly I'm a little disappointed to hear. I thought he had right tackle written all over him, and maybe he still does. We'll see. Yeah. Will we see those two guys in the bowl game? Not sure, but I do think another freshman we'll see more is Boubacar Traore, because the bowl game does not count towards your redshirt. He played four games, so he can play in a fifth now. I think we'll see a lot of Boubacar Traore in the game. I honestly just don't know if we'll see either of the other two. So Tim, thoughts on that? And then Riley Mills, what do you think he should do?
My first thought, I'll jump on Riley Mills real quick, because my first thought on Riley is he's a tank. The dude looks like a tree in the middle, right? He's a monster. And he looks like he's going to be – he reminds me of just some of those Buffalo Bill, D tackles that just play forever and are just big, thick monsters in the middle. But can he pass rush? I think that's always been the biggest thing with Riley Mills. I mean, when they go their speed rush package, their Aztec, the dime, and they go their special pass rush unit, Mills is never out there. It's always Howard Cross. So does Mills get inserted into that with another year where it's like, you are going to be our go-to pass rush guy? We've not seen that with Riley in his 4 years. So that might be something that NFL scouts, because he's going to sit back and he wants to see what these scouts are saying. Am I a second rounder, a fourth rounder? Boom, you're just a rotational guy in the NFL right now, meaning first, second down, play a little goal line. And when it's third down, bam, you sit the bench. So he's probably going to wait and see what that is. Jagasaw, me personally, out of those two, I hope he gets a little bit of reps. Can he be the third offensive tackle? I know he by the way, he's a monster. He's huge. Him and Baker next to each other at the end of the Stanford game for like the last two series were just nice to let. I like giant dudes, Mike, up front, and they're giants. So there's a big, big road graders out there. So I hope Charles gets some reps, assuming here, Fisher and Alt opt out, go to the NFL, that he's the third tackle somehow. And Brennan Vernon, you and I have been a fan of him forever. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a huge reason why Nana moved on. Is Boubacar, Vernon, or these guys stepping up on the edges to where we're going to play these guys next year? They give us a little bit more, edge pressure. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of those things with Nana.
Yep. A few comments I wanted to get to. Sam asked, how do you send the voice memos? Actually tweeted today from at Mike T. Singer for folks that are interested in doing this. Just shoot me a message. And I got a few messages that way, but most of them came from our blueandgold.com message board. So that is that. Tony said, Tim is entering the portal. He got a sweet NIL deal from the USC site. Say it ain't so, Tim. Can you confirm or deny this?
I don't want to talk SC football. Come on. Just because I'm born and raised in Southern California does not mean I want to talk about USC football. No. No. I've been in plenty of Notre Dame games in the Coliseum, and there's nothing better than wearing green in the Coliseum. I've been there for some butt kickings, and I've been there for some big celebrations. So I will
and not. We were talking earlier about the slow day, except for A&M. How about A&M? I tweeted it out, and I think a lot of people agreed with me. How about a documentary on A&M's 22 recruiting class and how that came together and how it fell apart and some of the stuff that Jimbo Fisher, or it's been leaked that Jimbo Fisher was just obsessed with recruiting rankings. Yes. I want to know about that. I want that documentary.
Yeah.
They've lost everyone from that class.
I've only followed a little bit of it, you know, seen some of the blurbs and the articles and all that. That's wild to where he only wanted to recruit, obviously, the highest ranked guys. He didn't care if they can't play. They don't fit their system. We don't need that guy. Get them.
Character.
That goes back to why they signed 8 defensive linemen, because it was going to boost their ratings. Who the hell signs 8 defensive linemen, for crying out loud? So I have not obviously Notre Dame, you know, I'll get into this after the bowl game, start prepping for A&M. Gonna be a hell of an atmosphere. I mean, Mike Goolsbee was there in the 2001 game that kind of got Bob Davie fired. So I'm sure he could talk all about that crazy atmosphere when he played there. And but it's like, who's left from that class, Mike? Once again, I haven't studied. I can't wait to go and start looking at their roster to see who is left from that class. I saw 2 more guys, I think, bailed ship today.
5-star. Yeah, number 1 player in the 22 class. I'm sure, like, so the Notre Dame's bowl game, 2 p.m. Eastern on the 29th, about an hour after our post-game show, I'm sure you'll start watching Texas A&M film, right?
After the New Year's 6 games. After Alabama-Michigan. After Alabama-Michigan, I'll start getting into the
you're going to start watching Texas A&M film when it's a new staff and a whole new roster?
A new OC. They got Klein from who interviewed last year with Marcus Freeman. So he's going to A&M. That's interesting. So,
all right, it's going to be a good game.
That's going to be a fun game.
All right, we're going to hear now from JP.
Okay, here's a question. Long-time listener, first-time caller. This is JP. How many transfers total? I know there's QB1. I don't know how many wide receivers, how many D linemen, how many DBs. Thanks. This is a good idea, by the way.
See, I don't get to hear that often. Good idea, Singer. I don't get to hear that often. JP, appreciate you. So I'm going to say 1 quarterback. I think 3 receivers right now.
That's what I have on my list.
That puts us at 4.
Yeah.
I'm still going to throw an offensive lineman in there, 5. That we're not hearing anything about Notre Dame, or at least I'm not going it's after just, an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
A defensive lineman, 6. They already have a DB committed, 7.
Yeah, you're right.
So do they then go get another DB to get 8?
Well, they have the nickel. I think they need a true safety. Man, I was going to say 10. My number's at 10 because, Mike, I'm thinking of the spring game. Who comes out of the spring and says, I'm not going to be here?
But then, yeah, I mean, I think you can add some guys, I think, at that point.
So what do you got, 8.5?
8.5 is the over-under?
Yeah. I'll go over. I'll go 9. They had 7 last year, which was the most ever. I think they're going to top that this year.
All right.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in 2, you know, 2 D linemen. And real quick on the offensive tackle, I know some people, you know, have asked about why offensive tackle Notre Dame recruits great. Yes, they do. But as Mike Singer just said, does Charles Jagasaw move inside? Does obviously Emil Wagner's been prepping for 2 years. He's on the traditional path for offensive linemen at Notre Dame. Red shirt, get your feet wet, play as a junior. Think Liam Eichenberg is a great example. Does Tosh Baker, does he come back for a 5th year? Does he go have a really good Sun Bowl where he comes back? He's been grooming, lifting weights. It's his spot. But who's behind them, Mike? Sullivan Absher has never pass blocked a day in his life. So in a game, he played the veer. So is he a guy? Do they move Charles? I know they got Lambert. If you have not seen Kirby Lambert senior film, people Google it, watch it. It is a freak show, but he doesn't arrive until the summer. So can he pick it up ASAP? Joe Alt didn't until game 4 or 5-ish.
Right.
So Does Lambert do that? That's going to be a wild card. That's why I think Singer is correct. And if there's an offensive tackle, I actually went on the On3 portal, which is awesome. You start typing those things in. There's no one that pops out right now. But if there's some 6'6", 300-pounder who's played in the Power 5, you got to take a look at him.
Yeah. As I was just taking a sip of water, I did realize I'm drinking in my Bucky's cup right now. And Bucky's is my second favorite spot in the world. Number one is Taco Bell. And I just got a Taco Bell craving a few minutes ago. I'll tell you guys what pairs well with Taco Bell. It's some Rogue Shop. How about that little transition there, Tim? You like that? Let's hear from tonight's sponsors. Rogue Shop, the husband and wife outfit. Mr. Rogue and his wife Char, craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. They farm and grow everything themselves, do everything by hand. Check out their website, rogueshop.com, rogueshop.com. They sell everything from CBD, THC edibles, tincture, smokables, bath salts, pain creams, topicals, vapes, candles, soaps, and even some cool earrings that I sent Tim for Christmas last year, and he has not worn them yet. Maybe he will do that soon. And their website has a 24/7 chat function where you guys can hop on the website and ask Mr. Roganshar any questions that you might have. So check it out, rogueshop.com. If you have issues sleeping, chronic pain, or if you have anxiety or stress issues, and use the promo code Blue and Gold, you will get 10% off your order. So check that out at rogueshop.com. Promo code Blue and Gold, getting you 10% off your order. All right.
Singer.
Yes.
Real quick, a gentleman in the chat, kicker. They didn't even count kicker.
Kicker, that's, yes. That's yes. A given. I always that's forget about kickers. Yes. Exactly. So they're your nine. So yeah. I would take the over. I always just forget about the kickers, Tim.
Exactly. They're just
people too, but I forget about them.
Because we know that's an automatic. So
it's yeah. Greg asks, who's the long snapper? I don't know. Brian Polian always liked to get long snappers on scholarship. I don't think Notre Dame is getting long snappers. I don't think they're using a scholarship spot on a long snapper. You bring in, you find a walk-on long snapper, or you ask Vincent if he can come back for a 14th year. And
go to the Ivy League. They will get a long snapper.
They'll get someone to transfer in. Yeah, no question there. So that was from JP, our last one. Now let's hear from Ed.
Hi, Mike and Tim.
Hello.
Just a question about quarterback coach Gino Gadulli. I've heard a lot of criticisms of Parker, obviously Stuckey, some of Rudolph. But with the quarterback play of Hartman coming under a lot of criticism, what kind of job do you think Gino did this year? Thanks.
Very interesting question.
It's a great question. And it's I'll be honest. I got a bunch of numbers I'd love to get into this next week. I don't have them in front of me that I've been breaking down, comparing Sam, Notre Dame, his wake and things of that nature. Kind of like how did Notre Dame do with him? And believe it or not, he's kind of the same quarterback. He really is. When you look at what he did, Wake and Notre Dame, you start breaking down his touchdown interception ratios, deep passes, complete. You know, there's so many little, you know, as Mike likes to say, data points, and it's amazing how close he is to his metrics that he had at Wake Forest. So, what could Notre Dame have done? And I think that's a great question, because you got a guy who's coming in here with 45 starts. Ohio State was his 50th start. What can, you know, Gino Gadulli, who did a hell of a job with Desmond Ridder, got him drafted. You know, he almost has, what do you think, he threw for 297, 298 against Notre Dame in the top 10 battle in 2021 when they came to South Bend. I think he did a really good job, because believe it or not, I think they limited Sam Hartman a lot this year. And I want to get into this once we know what Sam's going to do and things of that nature. Once we, you know, kind of do a rewind on the season and look at it, I think they limited Sam, and Mike, I think it was a pretty good thing, tell you the truth, and what they did. I think the Notre Dame coaches did a pretty good job. The more I've dived into some things.
You just took me on a roller coaster that Sam. I didn't know where you're going to end with that.
No, I think he did a good job, because, you know, how do you, you know, he had, you know, a small window to try and teach him how to even just go under center. Let's just go the basics that he came from. Go under center, pro style, just handing off. He didn't run duo. There's no duo reads. The steps are completely different than zone read mesh that he did. And I think they did a good job as coaches, but Sam Hartman, the quarterback, he really is. He literally is basically the same guy he was at Wake. And I thought the Notre Dame coaches did a pretty good job adjusting him into the scheme that he did.
Folks, if you're just joining us, please hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel if you are new here. Tomorrow night, planning on having a show with Mike Goolsby to talk about a lot of the same stuff, and we'll hear it from Mike, which is always interesting. I know he's been watching more of Riley Leonard, so it'll be interesting to see what he thinks about the expected transfer quarterback who is on campus as we speak. Riley Leonard, Bo Collins, Josh Kelly, all on campus right now. So some potential new players for the Irish there. Have you ever heard the term, Tim, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Like, yeah, I mean, what really could Gino have done with them? I don't know. Like, as the quarterback's coach and not play caller, like, I'm a Dolphins fan. Mike McDaniel comes in, and Tua, everything changes for Tua because of the offense.
Yeah.
Right? But Gaduli's not the play caller. Like, I don't know what Gaduli could have done a whole lot. Like, Tim's telling me as the expert here that he thinks they did a really good job with him, you know, in a short period of time. I would go with what Tim says. But for me, I'm just like, what really could they do to improve him or make him worse? You know, like that's just my opinion. So I would say the jury is still out on him, Tim, as like a developer at the position. But in terms of recruiting, he came in, built a really good relationship right away with CJ Carr, who was not sure. You guys remember that, 10 months ago, 11 months ago? 10 months. When Reese left, Carr was not saying anything on social media. CJ Carr went from, I am all Notre Dame, to, I'm going to take a step back a little bit. I want to see who they hire. Gadulian Carr kicked it off. And then several months later, I should say, Gaduli helps lead Notre Dame to land a commitment from Deuce Knight, borderline five-star recruit. So I'd say from the recruiting angle of things, thumbs up there so far. Thoughts on that, Tim? Anything else?
No. I mean, it's a great question because he's right. Gino kind of gets left out because of so much on Parker and obviously Stuckey, you know, this season with the wide receivers and everything's happened in the last week. But no, I mean, Hartman is an interesting case study and, taking someone in just a unique offense, you know what I mean, that Wake was. And it's interesting just looking at it, rewatching some film. I rewatched the Leonard versus Hartman battle 2 years ago, the fourth quarter duel. Those guys went all the way down to the end, and Riley Leonard pulled out the big win against Wake and Sam Hartman. And they limited Hartman with interceptions. Even though he did throw a handful, the amount of games of not throwing interception dramatically down compared to what they did at Wake. They took away, obviously, the deep shots I always talk about, but they limited those because that's what got him in trouble so much at Wake. So I think they did a lot of good things when it's all said and done. And the lack of perimeter playmakers and Hartman having those guys to use and hit is what kind of hindered the team long run.
Okay. All right. A couple more here, Tim. Let's first hear from Irish Lenny. Here we go.
Hey, Mike and Tim. It looks to me that if we get Chris Mitchell, Bo Collins, and Josh Kelly, mm-hmm. that the wide receiver room is actually in maybe better shape than it was before it started. And this is Irish Lenny, 76.
Thank you, Irish Lenny. I'll go first, Tim.
Go for it.
It's better for the year, but then what does it look like the next year? You just doing this again? So what does it look like then in 2025? I'm with you on like the win now thing. I totally am. But has Goolsby brainwashed me on not liking the 1 year rentals and wanting to. So I'm still kind of in between on it. Like, yes, do it, do what you can to win now. But Collins 1 year, Kelly 1 year, Chris Mitchell 1 year. That's if they get all three. Mitchell's committed, the Florida international receiver. Collins and Kelly are there right now. But let's just say they go get three total and they all have 1 year. Then you hope that, you know, the young guys are developed, because you lost Flores, who, even though it's not the biggest loss in the world, you still would have had him for, you know, two or three more years. So what do you think, Tim?
It's the wide receiver room. Mike Singer talks about it, because Mike Singer was a legitimate curl flat runner, where that wide receiver room, I always love when Goolsby kids you. It's like, it's wide receivers, Mike, and you know it. They're prima donnas, man. They all want the ball. They all think they're this guy. They all think they're that guy. Who's to say? I don't know. I have done it's the transfer point. It's the 1 year transfer rule. You're allowed to transfer for free one time. Yep. So if you're not happy and you're not feeling good, you just bail. And the notion that you're just going to recruit 20, what are they signing? 23, let's say this year. You're going to sign 23. And 22 of them are going to return in 2025. The odds of that are zero. Let's just be honest. Guys are going to leave. So this whole – it's just me talking. This whole notion of, well, you got to build and take your lumps and see what happens down the road. You can't, because you don't know when dudes are just going to pack up and leave. Hold and stay. You know, we always talk – you know, the most overused word in football is develop. You know, well, we developed. Well, Holden Stage just got developed for two damn years and he bailed. So you don't know. And that's the craziest thing. So you just got to build your roster. You recruit the hell out of it. Let's take Cooper Flanagan, you know, one of our favorite players. We expect Cooper to be here for 4 years. That's the quote unquote goal. So yeah. You know, Parker Freeman, Chad Bowden, all these guys, they're recruiting these guys nonstop. It's never going to end. But you can't assume anything. And I think that, especially a wide receiver is the one position I think you could go and replace dudes
every year.
People need to go on the On3, whatever portal tracker you want to use, or there's a bunch of them out there, and just click wide receiver.
We do prefer On3.
Exactly. Yeah, the On3 one is awesome. It breaks it down. It's already got, there's so much data in there. It's crazy. Whoever coordinates that, big thumbs up. But you just click wide receiver. It's going to take you 6 hours to read names. It is insane how the wide receivers are like half of the portal. So the ability to go find two, three guys is so great. That's the one position, man. I am not worried about it. I'm just not.
I like it. All right. I'm in.
Especially wide receiver.
Still wish they had Flores, but yeah, I'm with you.
Exactly, because he's going to be – what we saw with Flores this year, it'll be that way for 4 years, meaning a guy you could trust, a guy you know is going to play his butt off for 60 minutes. Heck, man, go back to the – you know, we always talk about the Hartman scramble against Duke. It was Rico who got, the second first down to get that thing rolling up the midfield, so on the great catch down there. I think Evans got the first one, then Rico got the second first down on that drive. So clutch play by him. So,
yeah. We have one more, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, these have been nice. These have been nice.
They started coming in hot like an hour before we started the show live. So I was like pretty worried. I was like, man, we're not getting any questions. And then they started rolling in. So I'll definitely give you guys a little bit more time next time. So let's hear from Gene.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I was just wondering, who do you think is the best offensive coordinator that Notre Dame has had over the past 20 years? Thanks.
Man. Yeah, this is where I did not give Tim any prep. So,
Chuck Martin, who took him to the national title, you know, they just pounded the rock in 2012. Geez Louise.
You're not going Jared Parker?
I mean, obviously. I mean, there has been some good ones. I mean, you know, Charlie Weiss was a hell of an Charlie Weiss called plays. I'll take Charlie Weiss's 05, 06 offense against anyone in the last 20 years. How's that? And he was the OC. So, and you go 20 years, you're going all the way back to the Willingham the Willingham era, so you're not going to go Bill Diedrich. Weiss would be up there. He's obviously the head coach. That's interesting to have to use the head coach. I would say the best offense, 05-06. Those, you know, and 2015 is for dynamic and electric. And, you know, that was Mr. Was it Denbrock?
Denbrock.
So Denbrock, you know, A&M just tried pulling him away, and LSU just gave him a huge, huge 3-year contract. So he's not leaving the South anytime soon. Yeah, but yeah, no one's you're probably going to jump off of. Now, if that guy down South pulls out a ring here in the middle of January, do you go? You know,
it's totally that's what he does there is regardless of what he did here.
Oh, I know it is. I know it is. I'm just poking a little bit of people out there having some fun.
All right. So, well, that was 8 questions we answered 45 minutes.
Yeah, took a few minutes. Commercials and us yapping. Yeah. I mean, we could easily trim this down to 30 minutes and roll from there.
I thought we were going to hit an hour easy. So, next time we'll definitely, I will go get questions.
Yeah. We could get another
more in
5-6 more questions and boom, you know, trim these up a little bit. Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, so we will definitely make this, especially into the off season.
Yes.
And we don't have to spend time talking about a watch list or something to save that as a topic.
Yeah,
but
the Remington Award watch list in August. We'll just do some questions.
All right. Well, I think we're going to put it there. Thursday night, planning on a show with Goolsby. Friday morning, I'll do a recruiting show with Kyle Kelly. Unless we have some kind of emergency show early next week, we'll be live next Wednesday night with Tim. What's up?
I'm going to give a tease, Mike.
Ooh.
I got a text from the 2004 team captain from the University of Notre Dame. And it was, I'm not going to read it, but a good tease for those to watch Mike talk tomorrow night about Riley Leonard.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay. I got to respond to him, but I was like, okay, I'm going to go.
Well, relax after we get off, I want to know what he said. Can you tell me what he said after we're done?
It's a tease. It's a tease. He said it to me.
You can't tease me. I'm saying after we're done with the show, tell me. Okay. All right. There it goes.
No, but I'm excited. I can't because I know Mike's been watching, like you said earlier, Goolsby's been watching a lot of film. I've been watching some of his 2022 stuff. I went and rewatched the Notre Dame game a couple nights ago. So I'm really, I'm looking forward to listening to Goolsby tomorrow night.
Okay, sounds good, folks. Well, that's going to end it. Thank you to our sponsors, Rogue Shop and Home Field Apparel. Please do check that out, folks. Appreciate all of the questions. Firm But Soft, Adam, Andrew, DY, JP, Ed, Irish Lenny, Gene, Alex, and I think that was everybody. So appreciate the questions, folks. Really appreciate your time, and thank you for making us part of your day here at Blue and Gold. Appreciate you all again. I think I said that 3 times now, but as always, we'll catch you next time.